So again, we're glad to have Brother Jonathan with us, and he has chosen as his title for this first discourse of the day, What Are the Differences Between Expectation and Hope? What are the differences between expectation and hope? Brother Jonathan.
Well, dear brethren, it is a privilege for Sister Jewel and I to be with you. We thank you for your example of bringing praise, honor, and glory to our Heavenly Father in all your work in the Lord. The Greater New London Ecclesia voted to send their love and special love from Brother Mark and Sister Vicky Grillo. What are the differences between expectation and hope? The inspiration of this subject came to me through a witness opportunity that I'm actually currently going through, and I'm in the middle of it right now. I am sure I have more to learn in this experience, but I want to share with you what the Lord has opened up to me in the way we think, in the way we understand others better. We will be looking at the differences between expectation and hope. First, we will define expectation. Second, I'm going to share the story of the witness opportunity that is helping me to understand how to deal with others. Third, we will look at biblical examples of expectations. Fourth, we'll also take a look at the difference between expectation and hope. And lastly, we will discuss how to separate expectations and hopes in our lives. Let's begin by defining expectation. Expectation, the act or state of looking forward or anticipating. Also, a degree of probability that something will occur. Thirdly, a belief that something will happen. Now, hope is a little different. Hope is, one, to want or desire for a certain thing to happen. Hope must be possible. That makes it a little different than a wish. Second definition, a little different than the first. Hope is expectation plus desire. We have hope in the coming kingdom of God and hope it will come soon. This definition is seldom in reference to people. Hope can be desire and expectation, or just hope. Expectations can be positive or negative, can't they? Let's look at three New Testament words used for expectation. The first is Romans 8, 8 through 19. That's Romans 8, 8 through 19. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. The word expectation here is Strong's number 603, and it means in the sense of watching an intense anticipation. So this is a positive expectation. I can't wait. Mankind is waiting for something better. Again, the definition for expectation is a belief that something will occur. The next word is found in Acts 12, verses 10 and 11. That's Acts 12, 10 and 11. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." That's Strong's word 1551. And that means to accept from some source to await. Here is an evil expectation to harm the apostles. Herod and the Jews that threw John and Peter into prison were expecting or waiting to sentence them the next day. But John and Peter were not there. The third word, Acts chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. Again, that's Acts 3, 2 through 6. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms, and he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." This is Strong's number 4328, and this means to watch, to anticipate, to await. Now, this man was expecting and waiting for money that he received, sometimes from others. But this expectation that he received was beyond what the man even thought possible. Expectations. When I came into the truth about 30 years ago, I had none. No expectations. When the Lord had someone I looked up to share some beautiful truths with me on biblical topics that we brought up in conversation, that was very unexpected. Because our conversation led to there's no hell and why God permits evil, I wanted more because it made perfect sense to me. I always knew in my heart from a child on that God was love. I dove right into Bible study and I couldn't get enough. This was better than anything I could have hoped for. It gave my life purpose. I had no expectations, but I was very thankful. Now let's go to my witness experience. And I'm going to be bouncing around throughout this talk. A young couple got in touch with the Dawn looking for Bible studies in their area. And they were referred to me, and I called them immediately and talked with a gentleman, and I was amazed how much truth he had had by studying the Bible on his own without any Bible student input. He believed in no hell, no Trinity, and a kingdom on the earth. Wow. Very unexpected. By God's grace, we plugged them right into Sunday studies, and it seemed that all was good. Well, we'll leave the story for now. Now back to expectations. When I say John the Baptist in prison, what comes to mind? Luke 7:19. Summoning two of the disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the expected one? Or do we look for someone else?" What was going through John's mind? How about doubt, discouragement, confusion, and unsurety? Now, wait a minute. Didn't John hear God's voice from heaven? When? At the baptism of Jesus. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He heard that miracle, that voice from God, and he doubted and was discouraged and confused and unsure. Even after hearing God's voice, and Jesus called him, what, one of the greatest prophets of all time, what were John's expectations? What were John and the nations expecting Messiah to be? Now, John's expectations were legitimate scripturally. What he didn't understand was the Lamb came before the lion. Was he wrong? No. His heart and his work were in the right place. This is where Jesus showed mercy to him and then complimented to John's disciples how wonderful John the Baptist was. What a wonderful example to us for how to show mercy if someone doesn't see something the way we do. Reprint 629 reads, "Doubtless the principal cause of John's doubts was the disappointment of his Jewish expectations as to the manner of Christ's coming. And this we see is a cause of stumbling to many today. Let us bear in mind Jesus' words, 'The kingdom of God comes not with outward show, nor shall they say, behold, here or there. For behold, God's royal majesty is among you, unseen by the natural eye, and at first undiscovered by the world.'" As brethren, we love time prophecies and can sometimes see them a little differently. We might be wrong in our thinking. Do we hold those beliefs as an expectation or a hope? Did Brother Russell in 1914 have an expectation in 1914? Yes. In the foreword of Volume 2, Brother Russell states, "All over the world, people knew of the expectations of Bible students in respect to the year 1914. The culmination of the church's hopes was not reached at the time we expected." With Brother Russell's expectation, he also had hope. And we see that by his statement, "The harvest goes grandly on." Brother Russell and many others had expectation plus desire, which was our definition for hope. But what of those in the Bible student movement who had expectations so strongly that when the kingdom did not come on earth, they fell away? They had expectations without hope. Hopes are flexible, since some hope admits uncertainty, it doesn't die when it gets unmet. Those that left the movement were disappointed that their expectation of a specific time was not met, and they left. Improper or unreasonable expectations leave the door open for Satan to cause confusion, doubt, fear, or even cause us to give up. How dangerous are false and unreasonable expectations? We see how, in the case of those falling away in 1914, pinpointing a prophecy before the date is fulfilled is a hope. Do we have disappointments when things don't go our way? What about the Lord's will? Isn't His way best? Of course it is. Do our disappointments come from our expectations not being met or our hopes not being met? I think we can find each case is different. How can we learn when to apply hope and when to apply expectation? Brother Russell in reprint 2381 shared with us, "It is the proper thing that as the Lord's people, we should not only trust Him for His goodness and providential care and call to mind His promises and plead them before Him in our supplications, but it is also equally proper that we should seek to see at every step of life's journey how divine providence is directing our way and causing all of life's affairs to work together for good to those who love God. Such expectations of divine care and such waiting for it and looking for it are evidences of true faith and pleasing to the Lord." When I gave my life to the Lord, this was my conversation with the Lord. Lord, I don't believe I'm good enough to be one of the 144,000, so wherever you want me, whatever I can do to help, that's good enough for me. Based on my past, bad choice after bad choice, I realized that His way was best, and I trusted Him, not me. I even needed to rely on His decision so much that I asked Him to choose a bride for me. I'm not kidding. Serious. He exceeded my expectations. I don't know what I'd do without Sister Jewel. Now let's get back to our story about the young couple that started meeting with our class. We were doing our best to make the studies help our new interests, to help them understand God's plan. The class is studying the book of Ephesians, and we spent extra time discussing the one body, the one spirit, and the hope of the one calling. We also gave them the first volume and the tabernacle each. It was perfect, or at least I thought it was. I had high expectations. They had so much truth. One Sunday, our new friend asked a question in our study. It was a blessing to see the brethren sharing their understanding from God's word with such enthusiasm. We gave them our full attention. Then, out of the blue, our new interest quotes Brother Russell. And he quoted from, was reading from the first volume. He goes, he's much smarter than I am. And then he read a comment from Brother Russell. We all smiled, of course. And after the meeting, he told me that every time they tried to go to a Bible study, no one could answer their questions. But here, everyone wants to help. He said it was refreshing. His comments truly gave me high expectations. We'll leave the story for now. Can we get in trouble from what we expect of others? How do expectations come into play as parents? Can expectations of our children doing and being what we hope for or what we want cause us to stumble or show disappointment? Have we failed if our children don't fit into what we thought was best for them? Or do they exceed our expectations? Do they bring joy in every part of our lives? Do we smile when we think of them? Thank God. Thank God either way. Why? Because God's got this. His plan is perfect. He has control of eternity. Don't worry. Serve Him and the brethren the best you can, and your example will be remembered. Trust that He will make up for our weaknesses. A practical example. Would we expect our children to have love and respect for us and others? Of course. Would it be our hope that when they grow up and become adults, they would achieve that love and respect? Yes. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. Love is patient. Love is kind. And it is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Our hope is both our children and we develop this kind of love. We need to remember that all people are different. If we have formed expectations of friends or loved ones that they cannot live up to, It's not their fault. We have the power to change our expectations to hopes if we find that our expectations of others are unreasonable. Expectations are rigid. Hopes are flexible. More on that later. It had been a while since we saw this new couple. I always tried texting and encouraging and staying in touch, but we weren't sure why, when they said they were coming to a meeting, they didn't show up. I texted a message asking, "Did we do something to discourage you from meeting with us?" He replied, "I do have a few questions and concerns." Now, this man has studied God's Word on his own for many years to find wonderful truths. Even though our class has shown love, sacrifice, care, a witness of God's Spirit, and scriptural proof of our beliefs on many subjects, he's not sure if they can meet with us because of some differences. What are their expectations? What are ours? Should we have expectations, or should we have hope instead? Do we have expectations for our brethren? Here's an example. What if someone consecrated his or her life and loves the Lord, but has a different thought or view than us? How do we handle it? Do we try to correct them? And because obviously they're wrong, do we put up a wall and not meet with them and wait and see when they see things our way and come back? Could that be a way to truly understand them and for them to truly understand you? No. Is there a way to have a true love and respect even in differences? Are we being prepared for an easy transition into the kingdom with no error or conflict or baggage? Could this be an opportunity to practice patience, humility, kindness, or love? We can't expect brethren to be more understanding, but we can hope. Brother Barton gives us another example in Pilgrim Echoes on page 277 that reads, he says, "Now there is a reason why we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that is because in meeting with the people of God, we find especially helpful opportunities for spiritual development. We would not find the same opportunities out in the world. And one reason is this, that you and I come in contact with the people of the world, and when they show the wrong spirit, we do not wonder at that. And we should not expect anything better. When we come to the people of God, we do expect something better. And the consequence is, when we find the Lord's people are imperfect, when we find that they sometimes do things we would rather they should not do, and they sometimes say things we would rather they should not say, it helps to develop in us a larger measure of spirituality, a larger measure of the graces of the Holy Spirit than would possibly be developed in us if we had been with a worldly person that had treated us that way. I think we are all inclined to expect too much of the people of God. We realize we are in the flesh. We are imperfect. And we all have failings." There is much wisdom in his words. Romans 12:10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Have you ever seen someone change the direction of a Bible study? What if the elder didn't prepare for this change? Was all his study in preparation for nothing? How hard is it for the brethren who have come prepared? The question is, did the Lord overrule it? Is there someone in the study hurting and possibly needing this exact conversation, even though we weren't expecting it? God knows. Are we willing to be flexible? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. An example of no. I had a conversation with an elder who had this challenge at a meeting. One of the brethren interrupted the study and gave his very minority view on a subject and really monopolized the meeting. The elder thought by allowing this, he would really listen to the other brother. Now, the elder told me he said that afterwards there was a line of brethren wanting to tell him, you should not have let that go on, you should have stopped it. And so he learned from that experience. Well, the reason being, what this person talked about was not in harmony with the understanding of the ecclesia. So the class has expectations for the elders, as they should. Well, at their next study, the elder took it upon himself to give a 15-minute talk on the view and understanding of the ecclesia in respect to that subject, which gave the brethren context, and it also laid a good foundation for their studies to build on. Ecclesias need structure, and they expect their elders to guide their studies. Now, back to our witness story. So our new friends meeting with us see things differently and have stopped coming. They had concerns. Now, in my mind, my first thought was, I'm going to defend the truth, set them straight, and see how it goes. Not well thought out. I was reacting with emotion and wanting to defend the truth. Was that the right course? No. So the Lord helped me to step back, and I called two brothers whom I trust and respect and shared my dilemma. The advice I received was not what I expected. I hadn't even considered it. Was the Lord asking me to go at this experience in a different direction? Psalm 65, 5 through 8 reads, my soul, wait thou upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge. Trust in him in all times. Let's get practical and answer many of the questions I've posed throughout our discussion. Imagine a chart before you, and there are two columns. Expectations on one side, hopes are on the other side. First example, do we expect our new interest to be at meeting? No. We can't expect them, but we hope they will. The next example is the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Do we expect that to happen? Yes. Expectation. We have no doubt. That's fixed. That's firm. It's a done deal. We don't hope it'll happen. It's an expectation. It's fixed. The third example, consecration. You expect to follow through with it, but you hope you will be faithful. There's a combination with the third example. Concluding with our witness experience, we set up a time to get together and to address his questions and concerns. Our meeting went in a different direction than he expected. I followed the advice I was given that the Lord helped me to develop with these several steps. First, we opened with prayer. And we set a goal to have mutual respect one for another, stating, we are not here to change each other's minds. Step one, give them what they want. Give them what they need. Second step, next, show appreciation and thankfulness that they took the time to come and share. I appreciate your journey to God and loving His Word. You have made it your own, which is what all Christians should do. You have a sincere heart, and I'm glad to call you friend. Step two, sincerely compliment from the heart. The third step, ask them, what are your questions and how do you see it? What do you believe? Why do you believe it? And how did you come to that conclusion? Now's the time to take notes. Really listen. Truly try to understand. How often do we think about how we are going to respond in a question and we're not really listening? Step three, listen. Step four, understand where they are coming from and how they got to their conclusion using God's word. It is important to repeat back to them what they told you in case you did not hear correctly. Step four is repeat to understand and clarify. Step five, allow time after concerns are addressed to share other subjects or beliefs that are important to them. Step five, freedom to express. Step six, conclude fellowship without sharing your opinion. It's not your time yet. It's about them. Tell them, next time we get together, I would like to share my thoughts on these questions and concerns. Optional, close with prayer. Step six, this time is about them. Next time is my time to share. Now, the comparison between expectation and hope. Expectation, the act or state of looking forward or anticipating, is typically fixed and frozen. It is inflexible and rigid. It is unable to give or to bend or to change. In the right context, when they are reasonable, this is a good thing. But in the wrong context, it is a disaster. An example of the right context of is Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. What focus the Apostle Paul had, what expectation, what drive. He was immovable. He was firm. Expectations are limited to previous experiences. We are unable to expect something that we haven't seen before. Like when I came into the truth, I didn't know what to expect, but I was happy. I was thankful. The worst part of unreasonable expectation is what happens when we hold on to them. They infect and overwhelm us like a virus. They consume us like the plague. We are unable to give them up. We're unable to let go. The scribes and Pharisees were examples of holding on to expectations, and look what happened to them. All the woes that our Lord Jesus presented because their hearts were hearts of stone, they would not move from where they stood. And, of course, that's found in Matthew 23, verse 13. Expectation influences our behavior and attitudes. It affects how we see the world and then how we respond to it. Dads, Do you expect your children to honor their mothers? This is reasonable. If you don't, what are the consequences? They won't honor their mother. If you just hope or desire that they will, they may not. In the case of our new interest, they have tried to find Bible studies in the past, but none worked out because the other groups believed in hell and the Trinity and no kingdom on earth. Now with our group, they have a dilemma. We have similar beliefs. Are his or her expectations so fixed that it would be easier to meet with no one? The question is, will they ever find a group that believes everything that they do in every detail? Will their expectations fail them? What it means to hope. Let's go back to our definition from the beginning. Hope, to want or desire for a certain thing to happen. Hope must be possible. That's what makes it different than a wish. Hope, on the other hand, is much different than expectation. While expectation is the assumption that something is actually going to happen, false or not, hope is a desire and expectation for something to happen. A good example is God's plan of salvation. We expect it because God promised it, and we desire it. Double column. Hope allows others to grow. It desires good for another, but gives them room to change over time. This makes me think of the story of the witness opportunity. Hope is not limited by previous experience. We can hope for more than what we know. We can hope for something better. Since hope admits uncertainty, it does not die when it gets unmet. We may need to adjust our hopes, but we can always keep hoping. When we saw the example of Brother Russell in 1914, the harvest goes grandly on. He adjusted his hope. Hope does not let us accept what we do. Expectation does not let us accept what we do not want. Again, expectation does not let us accept what we do not want. If we hold on to false, unreasonable expectation, a belief that others will do and should be different than they are, it will poison our relationship. It will negatively influence how we see people and how we treat them. The value I received on the advice from the steps on how to handle the witness experience, which I took as from the Lord, may be the key to helping us handle conflict in all of life's affairs. 1. Give them what they want. Give them what they need. 2. Sincerely compliment them. 3. Listen. 4. Repeat to understand and clarify. 5. Freedom to express. And 6. This time is about them. Next time is our time to share. 1 Peter 3:5, but sanctify the Lord in thy hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. The lessons I've learned from this experience is more hopeful and less expectations of others. High expectations generally belong in the context of God's word, and hope belongs in the context of people. The Lord may be showing me a blind spot, and I believe that this experience was to help me how to communicate and understand others better, whether it is with a witness opportunity, family, or brethren. Insensitive and unreasonable expectations can cause divisions, but can hope? Think about it. And we'll end with one of my favorite scriptures, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths.